As explained at the beginning of the service, the Feast of the Presentation is always on February 2nd, and when February 2nd falls on a Sunday, we celebrate this holy day rather than the fourth Sunday of Epiphany. This day is about Epiphany, the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple, Jesus' first entry into the temple, and it celebrates the Virgin Mary's purification. There were things to be done as required by Jewish law and custom when a firstborn son came into the world. Christ was born, people responded. Christ was born, people reacted. Christ is born, people are changed. Anna and Simeon were old. They'd been around, they'd seen many things for a long time. Had they given up hope that things would change in their lifetime? We hear that God had let Simeon know that he would not die before seeing the Messiah. But that must have been difficult to believe as the years rolled on. The same can be true for us. We hope and we pray and we wait. It can be difficult to believe certain things will ever change. We've seen some things change, though. There are things that we hope for in our lives and the life of the world, and these are important just as they were for Simeon and Anna. We don't know just how much time had passed, at least I haven't figured it out, between the Holy Spirit revealing to Simeon that he would not die before seeing the Messiah and the day that the Spirit guided him into the temple. You know, those two things are said right together in our reading, but there might have been quite a bit of time between the two. Mary and Joseph come with Jesus, and Simeon takes Jesus in his arms, praises God with words that name the moment and proclaim a future to come. We say what we call the Song of Simeon in our service of Compline, which is the last service of the day. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised, for these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Mary and Joseph are amazed. Then Anna comes, a prophet. Long had she been in the temple, fasting and praying, never leaving, we are told, and now the age of 84. She comes, praises God, and we hear she speaks of the child to those who were seeking salvation. Mary and Joseph go home with Jesus and wait. And Jesus grows in strength and wisdom. God's favor was upon him, we are told. What is the rhythm of salvation? What is the pace of knowing? Our gospel today is clear that patience, hope, listening for the leading of the Spirit, and then maybe knowing, and then maybe waiting some more, it's not a straight line or a certain path, but there's an openness and a flexibility that characterizes our faithful spiritual approach to life. About the presentation, Lawrence Hull Stokey writes, "Central to this occasion are the two great worthies," as he names them, Simeon and Anna, "whose patient faith is rewarded with great joy. The attribution of Simeon that Jesus shall be a light for revelation to the Gentiles inspired this custom that we have participated in today, a ceremony of candles, sometimes blessing candles that will be used throughout the year, and giving candles to the faithful as a token of the light of Christ." Stokey notes that on this day, February 2nd, that it's known by another name and tradition. And this is in his Christian commentary. He notes that today is also Groundhog Day. He says, news reporters who have no clue to what the presentation of Jesus is about rush to see a furry rodent emerge from hibernation as a presumed omen concerning when winter will end. Just love that. That he even mentions it in his book. The end of winter. This is why we look to the groundhog. In the Game of Thrones, and I know there are those of you out there who wait for me to mention the Game of Thrones, winter is coming, and it is to be feared. In the Song of Songs in the Bible, winter is past, and the spring has come. Flowers appear on the earth, and the season of singing has come. In the love of two people, we see spring has come. This is also an allegory of God's love for all people. Light has come, the light of Christ. So if you go online today, or if you had been looking at this before today, the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club does exist. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. I know it from the movie, but Punxsutawney Groundhog Club. So I was sad to see that Brunch with Phil has sold out for today with the groundhog. Brunch has sold out, but they say, and I just love this, thank you for your interest in this great event. Brunch with Phil the groundhog. So that can sell out, but our lunch, our meal, our brunch with Jesus never sells out. There's always room for more. In the 1993 movie Groundhog Day, Bill Murray plays Phil Connors, a weatherman who's gone to Punxsutawney to cover the story of Groundhog Day. A blizzard forces him to spend the night, and he wakes to find that it's Groundhog Day all over again. I think probably almost everyone here knows this movie. This movie is classic. And it, as you know, if you've seen the movie or heard about it, it just repeats over and over again. Groundhog Day, wakes up, the alarm clock, the same music, the same voice. Well, a lot of people out there in the world of religion, of all faiths, have latched on to this movie, and there's a lot you can read about it theologically and ethically. I found an article from 2017 entitled A Movie for All Time on the National Review website by Jonah Goldberg, in which he talks about Bill Murray's character. He says, he doesn't find paradise or liberation by becoming more authentic, by acting on his whims and urges and listening to his inner voices. That behavior is soul-killing. He does exactly the opposite. He learns to appreciate the crowd, the community, even the bourgeoisie hicks and their values. Because if you know the movie, all right, Phil Connors really didn't like the town or the people when he got there. He determines to make himself, but he's changing, right, after years of waking up on Groundhog Day. He determines to make himself better by reading poetry and the classics and by learning to sculpt ice and make music. And most of all, by shedding his ironic detachment from the world. It's only then that he can wake up and it be February 3rd. Only then does the real next day come. Now, theologically, as Episcopalians and most Christians, authenticity, true authenticity is a good thing, and listening to the inner voices that come from God are a good thing. What he's talking about are just the selfishness factor. Each day can seem much like the next or the last when we focus on ourselves alone, right? It can get really, really monotonous. I've had times like that, right? We're just, it's like, can't I get away from myself? And looking outward, when we're looking outward and living for others, this is the key. This is where we grow. This is where we really come to know ourselves in community and with God. That's where we grow and know and are able to move into the next day when we experience and then share light with others. So today we're holding our annual parish meeting. And we're having a celebratory lunch. And I really feel that the annual meeting itself is a time of celebration. It's a time to celebrate who we are as a community. It's a time to celebrate those who've been with us for years who may have passed on. It's a time to celebrate all the new people who are with us now. We're celebrating the ways that the light of Christ has been known, that we shared with each other and our neighbors in our neighborhood near, and also our neighbors far in the city and far away. God has worked through us, filled us with desire to share good news. That good news, like what? That community is for all, that everyone is worthy of respect, that everyone deserves not only the necessities of life, but the things that make life truly joyful and full, and justice. You can read about what we've done in our annual meeting booklet, much of what we've done, but it's not all in there. You do so much, sometimes very quietly, in ways that are known to you and God alone. And it's not all in the booklet because we don't know all that God has done with what we've offered, when we've offered it and then God has taken that and changed lives, the Spirit moving. Nothing can contain the light of Christ. We are blessed by sharing Christ's light. Let us pray. We thank you for this day, O God, when we remember Simeon and Anna. We remember that they recognized your salvation for all in the baby Jesus. May we have their patience in moments of struggle and waiting. May we be blessed to see the many ways you come among us and save us. Fill our hearts with the light of faith. Amen.